All right, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do, and there's more work for each of us, because there are less and less of us every day. Okay. So Mishnah and Gimel try to do a little bekitzer, and for reasons which I'll explain. For good logical reasons. One of the different forms of bona that we've been dealing with until now. Until now, we dealt with two main forms of bona. We dealt with the issue of putting things together, which would apply even to Kalim, right? At least according to the Rambam and Tosos, etc. That was Shemeshin Yudalid. By Kalim, the issue was mamash attaching things or deattaching them. Then we did submission test Bob, which is about Ohel, which is about the creation of an enclosed space. Now, in half of Shemeshin Yud Gimel, the other half that we didn't do yet, the beginning of Shemeshin Yud Gimel, is an issue which the Achronim call Mosif al Habinyan, which means, I don't think it would be something that would be shaykh to Kalim, but when you have a binyan mamish, anything you add to a binyan, anything you add to a binyan is bona. And not only that, anything you add onto a binyan is bona, even if you're not tokeya. Anything you add to a binyan is bona. And not only that, we see some cases which are not bona mida or raisa, but are still exer drabanan. So what's the basic, the first four sifim from Shinud Gimel, what's the basic rule underlying this? The basic rule underlying this, and I will skip around a little. The basic rule underlying this is that any mosif al habinyan, any time you attach something permanently, long term, to a building that's on the ground, that is mamash isur d'oraisa. You even go so far as to say, just some examples that I've seen in the modern day poskim. Some of the examples are obvious. You know, if the window shade. I don't mean just like a curtain that's hanging on a hook. That we dealt with in the Parochas. I'm saying like a whole fancy mechanism came down, you know, with the mechanism, with a piece of metal that sticks into a piece, whatever, and I would put it back in, that would be an Issur D'oraisa of Mosif al Habinyan, regardless of whether it was a wall, whether it was a mechitza, whether it was takua, that's Mosif al Habinyan. If the post can bring down, even I do something so innocuous, I take a suction cup with a hook on it, and I stick it to the wall, permanently, long term. That's if I would stick it to this desk, a suction cup to the side. I don't think anyone would have any problem with that. But if I stick it to the wall of a house, even though I haven't really done anything so strong, so building like, there's no ohel, there's no tkiya, but it's mosif al habinyan. Again, I don't mean like it's the kind of thing that falls down, you know, every day. I mean it's the kind of thing that I plan to leave there for a long time. That's mosif al habinyan. That is probably an isur d'oraisa mamish. So what are we dealing with here? So here we're dealing with all kinds of things that you add on to your structure for the purpose of opening and closing doors and windows. So if you would add on these things in a way that would be long-term mosif al habinyan, then that would be for sure usher, and there's nothing to talk about in this siman. That's what the Mishnah Berurah points out in the Bir Halacha, in the second Bir Halacha in the Sif. This is sort of the background information to the Sif. The background information is that I am Mishnah Berurah, v'im'eino omed levtoch ha'le'itim rechokos, usher k'mosif al kavua. That's mosif al habinyan. That if you would take we're going to assume that all of this for Seifim is dealing with Yisroel Drabanan. But if you would take something, let's say you had a window. Remember, the old windows were just holes in the wall, and you would stick a board in there to board it up for a long time, right? Let's say, I don't know, it was one of these abandoned houses. You just put it in there, and you don't know when you're coming back, or you're going away, you know, for the whole summer, so you put this thing in your window, or whatever the case may be, for a long, long time. Let's see exactly what's a long time. Then that would be mamish mosif al habinyan, might probably even be an issur d'oraisa. And that's not what we're talking about here. Everything we're talking about here is everything we're talking about here is not an Issa Doraisa and is not really considered to be adding to the binyan. At least Alpi Pashtus, yeah.
So why would we discuss it? But why is a picture when you hang it? If you would rehang a picture, why is that not Mosul Binyan?
Okay, why is a picture not Mosul Binyan? So this gets a little tricky, and I should have quoted the modern day poskim. But there are exceptions to Mosif al Binyan, even if you're planning to leave something there for a long time, which becomes very subtle. This is the Yuzrei Ribi, that's Lashon. Okay, let's look at Mosif al Binyan here. It says there are certain things which are like part of the binyan, and there are certain things which you might leave next to the building for a long time but aren't really integrated with it. And where to draw that line is a subtlety. Like, for example, everyone knows sometimes people have a mantle piece, like a little shelf above the fireplace or someplace where they put whatever, bric-a-brac, tchotchkes. So let's say you put a tchotchke on there and it's going to stay there for 30 years, right? Until, you know, who knows? Until you get old and retire to Florida and sell the house. No one would say that's an Isser of Mosif al Binyan, even though you're mevatel in place forever, because it's not like part of the house, it's a separate thing. And it's a subtlety to know exactly, you know, what qualifies as what. Let's say I had like a bath mat and I put it on the floor of my bathroom, and I'm going to leave it there indefinitely. That's a Mosif al Binyan, it's not like part of the house, it's just a bath mat. Now again, a rug that covers a whole room might be a different story. A piece of carpeting or something would be a different story. But the question is, what about like pictures you hang on the wall? And very similar to that is, you know, sometimes you make these hooks that you like put them over the door, like the towel hooks that don't attach at all to the door, they just go over the top of the door. So what about things like that, which you might leave in place for a long time, but are very much not seen as like part of the building? So what Ribiat says in those cases, and he brings it out from Poskim, you know, what's good about him is he tries to work on all these hagdoros, unlike someone like the Shmir Shabbos, who's not taking it top down, he's taking case by case. So he says there are certain cases where even if you're leaving something in the binyan for a long time, if it's really so loosely connected that you don't see it as part of the binyan, that's not most of all binyan. That's hanging up pictures. Because pictures, they're just literally hanging by a thread on a little nail. That's not part of the binyan. And so there are some things that are just not part of the binyan. But if you have anything that's more integrated than that, you put down a floor tile, even without cementing it. Just put it down. Or you put down carpeting. You know, even without stapling it or whatever it is that people do when they put down carpeting, or you put a panel on the wall that's, you know, right as either because it just snaps in or something. And those kinds of things are a mamish mosval binyan and are a serious problem. So what about the cases here? The cases here, let's assume, are all cases where it's not mosval binyan for at least one reason. The one reason being that these are things which you take in and put out and take in and put out, and you're not actually adding them. You're not mevatel them in place to the binyan. They're just things that you put in when you need them, you take out when you need them. They're ways to close and open the doors and windows. So they're not adding to the house. They're just the regular things that you put in and take out, put in and take out. And those things that you put in and take out, put in and take out, are just basically, they're like mosif arai, right? Everyone knows you all are mosif alol arai. They're most well all awry, and therefore there's no iser doraisa, and there probably should be no iser at all. These are just most well all awry. They're very temporary kinds of things. However, what happens is since some of these cases might, well, actually we'll have to see. Take that. I'm not going to get into just agav. There is a shita of the chachamim about nagar hanigra that it's also doraisa to stick a nagar hanigra in. Oh, sorry. There's a sheet of the Chum that, according to Rashi, but not Tosos, is an Issur D'oraisa. So I'm not getting into that. Rashi obviously thinks that if you're Tokea something, which is the Lashon he uses, that could be more chomer. But let's assume now, Bir Alach mentioned that here, that there's no Shash of Issur D'oraisa here at all, right? Even according to Tosos, according to nobody, there's Shash of Issur D'oraisa. So let's assume only dealing with an Issur D'Rabbanan, because really it's most of Halal Arai. However, in some cases, the Rabbanan were more machmer anyway. Now, before we figure out why they were machmer anyway, let's take that.
Definition,
you see,
Mosif al-Oel Arai, so what you're
being Mosif
onto itself is not
correct. When I say Mosif al-Oel Arai, that's a misleading phrase. What I mean is Mosif Arai al-Oel. Correct.
Also, how would like a heavy piece of furniture like?
So, a heavy piece of furniture, even if you're going to leave it there forever, this is interesting. It might depend what you mean by piece of furniture, but let's say a very heavy bookshelf that you're going to leave in place forever, that would not be Mosul Abinyan because it's not part of the Binyan. It's a separate item. Now, how you know what it is, you just have to like make a judgment call. Or maybe you have to look at a postcard for a judgment
anything
call.
Anything you would take with you if you sold the house?
Perhaps. That's an interesting
especially
gender.
In
what?
Especially in Israel.
Right. Come on, Israel.
I think everything's not nailed down.
Yeah. So let's say a refrigerator. Right? Moving the refrigerator into a place is a vada, not bone. Meaning, I'm pretty sure it's not so Shabbistic, but it's a vada, not bone. Because the refrigerator, still, it's not part of the house. Even if you're going to leave it there for 20 years without moving it, right? Or at least until Erev Pesach. Right? Even if you're going to leave it there until Erev Pesach, and now it's only Shavuos, that's 10 months. Still, that's not part of the house. Now, again, how do you know where to draw the line? It's a little tricky. You know, Rivia deals with, what about a rug? You know, is that part of the house? If you put it down for a long time, is that Mosul Abinyan? Or is that not? And he said, I think the end wants me to chal, like, there are rugs and there are rugs. Some rugs, like, cover the whole room, and that's like your carpeting. And that's like part of the house. And some rugs are like a little rug in the middle of the room for decoration that, you know, is not really part of the house. That, you know, you pick up every time you you wash the floor. So you have to figure out where to draw the line. Okay, that's his own opinion. You can look for some examples in Rabbi Yehuda. He has a few pages about this. I forget exactly which. It should be easy enough to find. But let's go to our Se'ifim for a second. Now, the Gemara has three cases they deal with, right? Only three cases here. The Pekak HaChalon. Pekak HaChalon is... Do we really have Pekak HaChalons nowadays?
Screen.
What?
Screen.
I mean, we don't put them in and out regularly. The problem is with our screens. Like, you know how in America people switch the storm windows and the screen windows twice a year, right? You know? When the winter ends, you take out the storm windows, which are glass or hard plastic, and you put in screen windows. When the summer ends, you take out... So the problem is, like, if we had put in and out our windows, that's something which we only do very rarely, and that would come under the problem that that's really more kavua. Right? How often do you take out... a lot of people take out the windows to wash them. You take out the windows to wash them twice a year or something. So we don't really have an example exactly like they had, where the Pekak HaChalon was just a way to close and open the window regularly. Because nowadays you close and open the window regularly by just closing and opening the window. But that's one of their cases. You have to figure out exactly what would be the equivalent nowadays. I mean, sometimes people have a window broken, they put a piece of cardboard there or something. So that might be the equivalent. Pekak HaChalon is one case, and there may or may not be certain requirements. Then there's the case of a kanesh hiskino lios noel bow, which is a bolt. Now, we have bolts nowadays also. The thing is, usually our bolts are attached to the door. But theoretically, you could have, let's say, you know those like things that sometimes you put like to close the bathroom door because you put them high up where the kids can't reach, and it's just like a bolt, and you turn it in, and you move it in, and then you turn it down again?
Deadbolt.
Is that whatever it is? So like, let's say that bolt, it wasn't attached there. Those bolts don't come out. There's no way to get in and out. It wasn't attached. You just put it in and took it out. That would be the example of the kone, the bolt. That's a bolt. It goes in, that's a bolt. It goes into, you know, it like attached to the door frame. And then there's a nagar hanigra. A nagar hanigra is a bolt that goes down. It sort of goes down underneath the, door. And it prevents thieves or from opening the door because it's stuck in the ground, so we can't move. And if they try to push the door will be blocked by that bolt. So we have those nowadays also in the door to the student center, right? The door to the student center, the auditorium. Like a lot of these doors, even I bet the front doors, like you can unlock them, but then on the bottom, there's these things you have to like flip up and they come out of the ground. So again, that's a little. Those are also attached to the door. Nowadays, we're a little more modern. We like keep those around and go look for them and then bolt the door. But that's the same idea. Again, ours are attached to the door. Luyutsu, it was broken. You had to stick something down. That would be a more classic example of Nagar and Nikvar. So in all these cases, the Gemara has various requirements. Maybe it has to look a certain way or be a certain amount of a kli or be prepared or set aside or be part of the door somehow to make it more mutter. What all these Gemaras talking about is a big machlokes Rishonim. Look at Rashi, Tosfos. All these Gemaras is a big machlokes Rishonim. What we're worried about are all these Gemaras about muktzah? Where avad there's no chash bona. What bona is this? You're just closing and opening your door. It's just a chash of muktzah. All these things are stam sticks. They're sticks. Sticks are muktzah unless you make them into a kli. You make them mukhan. And all the machlokes in the Gemara is, when is it considered mukhan? When is it considered muktzah? That's one way of interpreting Gemara. Remain of time likes that. Rashi interpreted the verse, no, all these Gemaras are about Bona. We want to know, not Bona Midoraisa, Bona Midorabona, they made special Gzeiros here of Nir'eh Kibona. They made these special Gzeiros of Nir'eh Kibona, because since these things might look like building, because they're really building materials. We're talking about sticks and boards and planks, which are building materials. So even though we know, you know, and I know, that you're not building, you're just bolting the door or closing the window. But since they are building materials, and it is done in a way that looks like building, they made a gzeira, unless it's sort of, there's something to show that it's obviously not building, that it's obviously not building. So we'll see, this is going to be, the machlok is only explicitly brought down by the Bir Halacha and Sif Aleph. This is going to be the question. The question is, there are some restrictions here on the Drabbana level, and perhaps because of Muktzah, perhaps because of Bona, and we'll see this in a minute in each example. So that's the background. Now let's just go through each example. Aleph. There's also Dalet. Okay, we'll get to that. Pekaka chalon, kigon luach o shar kol davar shesotin bo achalon, yichol musat ma'afilu eino kosher, v'lo mina da'avi kemosif al habinyan. So pekaka chalon, again, this board which you put to close up your window, you can use it, even if it's not tied and hanging from the window. If it would be tied and hanging from the window, what might you compare that to? It would be tied and hanging from the window? What? What would you compare that to from Simon Shintes Vav? If it's already tied and hanging from the window, then the Vav doesn't even look like Bona to put it in. Because it's, what would you think it's like? This is just me, it's not the postkin. It would be mainly like the hinges or something, right? It's already there, it's just opening and closed. That's obviously not building, right? It's attached by a rope to open and close. But he says, even if it's not tight, even if it's totally not attached to the wall, and you're totally sticking an extraneous object in the wall, it's still mutter, and it's not like most of Alabinyan. Vehu, but there's one condition. Sheyach shova love me'erev Shabbos l'sok mopo. As long as you thought on Friday that you would use it to close up the window. So, question is, why do you need to have thought on Friday they would use this as a window shutter? So that's a machlokas. The Bir Halacha brings down from this, by the way, Agav, I should point out, we know this already. This is the actual case of machlokas in relation to the Chacham that Mosef Halo al Arai, where we pass him its mutter. You're allowed to be Mosef Halo al Arai. So that this actually was the basis of all of Simon Shintes Vav. Okay, but let's get back to this. Why do you need to have thought about it Erev Shabbos? So, the Ran and the Rush and the Bir Halacha quotes in the Bach and the Prima Gadim say there's no Bona Chash at all. There's never a Chash of Bona here. You're just shutting the window. This because of Mukta. Because if you have a Stam board, that's Mukta unless you thought that you would set it aside for use. But a Stam board is Eitzim Vavonim is Mukta Machos Gufo. So they say there's no Bona Chash at all. You just need, there's just a Mukta Chash. And if you think about it beforehand and set it aside in your mind, that makes it muchan. The Bir Halacha quotes from Rashi and the Gra that no, it's a bona problem. That really, even here, they made a slight zero of bona, a very tiny slight zero of bona, that if you take a new thing which you've never thought to use and stick it in your window, that seems like bona. But if you thought to use it as a shutter, then it doesn't seem like bona anymore. So that's a machlokas. The Bir Halacha brings down an interesting nafgamina. I thought that was a nice nafgamina. What if before Shabbos you had like set this aside for use as a placemat in your mind? Then, if the problem was Mukta, it's not Mukta, it's a placemat. But if the problem was Bona, then maybe there'd still be a Chash of Bona. Because you're taking something that you didn't think of using as a shutter and attaching it to your house. I'm not sure it's a Mukta Nafkamina, but okay. That's enough Nafkamina the Bir Halacha gives. Now, the truth is that, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel quotes the Chai Adam with one kula, though. He says, this is all a problem. This, again, the Chashah Mukta is a problem. That's like another question. Of course you can't use something Mukta as a window shutter. You can't use something Mukta at all. So that's Pasha that needs to not be Mukta. What about the other Chash that the Grun, right, brings up from Rashi? That it might be bona if you use something that you didn't have machshava beforehand. So, that taka maybe we should be chokshish for. Even if you have something that's not mukta, it might be a chash of Bonin, Nirika Bonin, Midra Bonin. But, however, that's only something which might look like Bonin, which someone might use to board up a window, like a board. If you put something that obviously doesn't belong in a window, like clothing, or, you know, I don't know what else you use, toys, or books, or whatever, then obviously there's neither shash, there's not a book of shash, and there's not a bone of shash, because obviously it doesn't even look like bone, it's pasha. This is not what gets left in a window. So therefore, if, for some reason, again, it's not so shchich by us, we have windows that go up and down, but if for some reason you lost your window on Shabbos, someone broke your window with a ball, or for whatever reason you're missing your window on Shabbos, and all of a sudden in the middle of Shabbos you want to stop it up, so you could either set aside a board before Shabbos, and then you'll be okay, at least according to most shittas, or you could just take something that doesn't belong in a window at all, it's not a building material at all, and then it's another pasha that it's not mukta, because it's like something useful for something, and it's not nirka bona, because it can't possibly seem like bona, and then you're for sure okay.
Are we saying that the machshava you have before Shabbos even works according to Rashi and Gra?
Yes.
How
does that work according to Rashi and Gra? Because since you intended to use this as the shutter, it's again, it's more similar to the normal way of opening and closing the window. Yeah, I'm just closing it with the normal closing way, and then later I'll open it the normal opening way. That's why it's a little. That's why most Rishonim don't agree with that. Because when does Machshava affect Nira Kabona? It's a stretch. Well, you're right. I mean, I don't have a good answer for that. Lemaisa, I'll just point out there is one other shita which the Bir Halacha quotes in a different one in Tibra Hamaskal Behusha Yachshov, that he does quote from the Ran that the Ran is more machmir, and he says. We'll see that Rabbi Yochanan says a little later on in the next few words that by a kun it needs Torah's kli. The Ran is more machri, he says, machshava is not enough to it depends which version of Torah's kli. But he says, machshava is not enough to be matar p'taka chavah. It actually needs to be physically adapted for use beforehand. You need to trim it or take out the splinters or cut it or whatever. You need to have done something physical to show that now it's being used as a window shutter. And the Bir Halacha leads to certain Elamaisa where you have to be machmer for this. At the very least, according to most Rishonim, all you need is machshava. And even machshava you don't need if you use something which is not intended for stuffing up a window. The Ran is a little more machmer. He says, if you want to put a board in your window, you need like a maisa before Shabbos, not just machshava. Okay, so much for a window shutter.
I just understand the Chai Adam, how that was different from the Bir Halacha Nafkamina.
Isn't the Bir Halacha Nafkamina was if it was something which would be a building material, like a stam board of wood. Just you intended to use it for a placemat.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But everyone agrees if it's a tray or a toy or a pillow, then it's not a pasha. That's mutter. Yeah, how could that look like bone? So you can for sure shut up your window with a at least if you're not machmer for the Ran with something you thought about before to use beforehand or with something that's not shayach to building. The next case we have is the kana shehitkino lios. Noel bow, a bolt, right? Like we mentioned, a bolt that, the truth is all of our doors have bolts. Usually they're just inside the doors and you can't see them, right? When you lock the door, a bolt goes into the door frame. So these bolts that you prepared it to use for bolting your door, ain't search shikshirene bedels also. You don't have to tie it on the door. Even if it's lying on the floor, you can still put it in and out and it doesn't look like bone. However, this is according to everyone but the Ran. However, I'm not going to go into the sheet of the Gemara, but this is the way we paskin. It's a little more binyan-like than the window shade. Why is it a little more binyan-like than the window shutter? Because the window shutter just goes in the window, but doesn't go into a hole in the thing next to the window. So that's less the derech of binyan, because the way of building houses is usually you attach things by sticking one piece into another piece. So a window shutter, you're not sticking one piece into another piece. That's always mutter. Likewise, if you had a bolt to the door that you weren't sticking into something else, would also be mutter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah mentions in Sif Katan Dalit. He says, let's say the way your door bolts is that like the folding door folds in half, and the bolt just goes like in the two parts of the door, so you can't unfold the door. So the bolt is just in the door, it doesn't go into the sides. And that's for sure mutter. That's like Kaka Chalom, that's not Derech Binyan. Or, you know what people do nowadays? If they have sliding doors, and they don't want a thief to break in through the sliding doors because none of the sliding doors have quality locks. So you know what they all do?
They put a piece of wood down.
They take a piece of wood and they just put it in if in the, you know, let's say this sliding door is on the slides inside, so I just take and put it on the bottom track here, so if a thief tries to open the sliding door, he won't be able to open it because it'll be blocked by the piece of wood in the track. That piece of, now you have to figure out exactly where that piece of wood goes, but if you assume, let's say it's a thick piece of wood, that doesn't go into anything. It just lies there and blocks it because it's lying there blocking it. And that's for sure, Mutter, because it's not like a cut. It's not going into something else. If it, however, went into, let's say, the door frame on the side or the door frame on the bottom, then it would be more common, perhaps. But, so what are we talking about? Why is a cut worse than Kaka Chalo? Because it goes into something next to the door. Like a regular bolt that go into the door frame, right? Like the ones I mentioned before that go into the other little piece over here, or a bolt that you lock with your key, which, of course, we can't put in and out nowadays because it's all attached to a contraption, but it goes into the door frame. So in that case, it's a little more like binyan. Therefore, machshav is not good enough. For that, you need a maisa. And here, it's again a machlokes shonim, but here, by the time you get to the poskim, the poskim seem to assume that this is not because of moksa, this is because of bona. Yeah, you can look at my tongue, but we assume this because of bona, because it's a little more near a kibona, because it attaches the door to the door frame by going in from one piece to another piece. So it's a little more like bona, therefore they were gozer, they were drabonan. That you can't use it unless you had done something to physically prepare it beforehand. Why did that help? Because if you physically prepared it for this use beforehand, then that shows clearly that it's not a building material. It's a special thing for locking and unlocking. So therefore, it doesn't look like building. What does it mean to specially prepare it? So that's the famous machlokes Rashi and Rabbi Natan. For Rashi, he's machmir. He said, when are you allowed to use this bolt? Only if you did some physical action to turn it into a useful kli for another purpose. Like, let's say the bolt was, just take an example. I have one of those bolts on my door, like the cheap bolts that I put on the bathroom door, and the piece broke and fell out. But I can still just take a little nail and stick it through there and close the shutter. Take a little peg and stick it through there. So that's also. For Rashi, what do I have to do to make it mutter? I have to take that nail and somehow change it. This is not going to be an easy thing to do in a way that makes it useful for some other purpose. Now, what other purpose could you use a nail for? No, that's not a kli purpose. That's a binyan purpose, right? You have to prepare it as a kli. Maybe if I like curl the end a little, so I could use it I don't even know. Let's forget the nail. Let's say I have a little dowel of wood. I have a little round cylinder of wood that I put through that to close my bathroom. But Rashi would say, that's also, it looks like bone. I'm putting a peg from one piece of my house into another piece of the house to keep them together. That's midrabanan, it looks like bone. What I have to do is I have to take that peg and I have to, sharpen the end and put some graphite there to make it into a pencil. Then, it obviously doesn't look like bone, so I'm going to use a pencil as part of a binyan. Or I have to, put a little spoon into the end so I could use it as a spoon. Then, of course, that doesn't look good. Or whatever, you have to make it useful for some halacha. Be creative.
It was already a clean.
What?
Something that was already a
clean. Or take an actual pencil, then, for sure, okay. Because then it doesn't look like Benny. Rain of Tom is more make. Rain of Tom ain't certainly royal. There are after elocamish and taking the vessel of vechino lakachsagi. For Rain of Tom, I don't have to make it into a different clean. I just have to do a maisa to show that I'm using it for a bolt to take in and out all the time. So what might I have to do for a bit of time? Let's say I just did a maisa of smoothing it out so that it can fit very easily through the bolt, or I made that little knob on it so I can lock it and unlock it as the bolt. I can turn it up and down. So as long as I do some maisa to make it into a bolt, that's good enough. And even that doesn't look like bone. Because even though a pencil for sure doesn't look like bone, but even a bolt, if it looks like, I know that I physically made it into a bolt, that physical action shows that it doesn't look like bone. And not only that, Umikri says, if I make it into a bolt, not only does that make it mutter out mukta, out binyan, it also makes it not mukta, it even makes it a klishamach leheter. Because once I made it into a bolt, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I'm allowed to use it to bolt my door. And that's a halacha leheter. So, without getting into some interesting mukta stuff we're not going to go into, lemaisa, how do we paskin? If you have this thing that's more macro than kaka chalim, so it goes into the side, Do we pass like Rashi that it's only mutter if I? Do we pass like Rashi that it's only mutter if I turn it into some other kli, which totally doesn't look like binyan, or like Rabbeinu Tam that it's mutter as long as I turned it into a bolt, which shows that it's not binyan? So the Mechaber obviously doesn't say, but the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Zayin says we should be machmir like Rashi, but b'shas hatzorach we can be maker like Rabbeinu Tam. So ideally, you should be machmir like Rashi. If you want to do this in your bathroom, you should get a pencil or turn it into a kli somehow. But b'shas hatzorach, if you're in the bathroom, you need to close it or whatever funny tzir that you might imagine of this happening. Then you can make like Rabbeinu Tam as long as you did a physical maisa to turn it into a good bolt. That shows it's not the way of binyan. The way of binyan is just take a piece of wood and shove it in. This shows that it's really a bolt that's made to be opened and closed, and therefore it doesn't even look like binyan on the drop-on level. So that's the second madrig. Of course, it goes without saying that if you tied it onto the door and left it hanging by a string to go in and out, that would for sure be mutter. Because then clearly it's just a bolt to go in and out. And it goes without saying, that if the bolt was actually attached to the door, like all of our modern bolts, right, every time I lock and unlock my door, front door, a bolt goes into the wall. Nowadays, even in your apartments, I think that's true. A decent bolt goes into the wall. That's, of course, mutter. It's attached there. So, of course, it's meant to be open and unopened and doesn't look like bone. This whole chash is only when I have something that's not attached at all. I'm just taking something from a closet or the floor, sticking it into my wall. That could look like bone, and therefore you have these restrictions.
What about being makalkel?
What do you mean?
Could you constructively do an action to show that
I'm not sure. My gut feeling is not. That might still be binyan. It would just be low quality binyan. It would be an Israeli kablan. Now, there's one madrega which is even worse than kamen, which is nagar. What's a nagar? A nagar is also a bolt, but it's even more binyan like then a comment. Why? The nagar should yosik, and we'll see this one case even worse than that. So yosik shenolam bovetokmos of his kufa lamata v'dami tefei l'binyan. Nagar is a bolt that you bolt, but instead of sticking it into the door frame on the side, you stick it into the threshold on the bottom. Again, it's like on the way in the student center when you lock and unlock it, although there, of course, it's attached. Or those doors that you flip up and down. The bolt goes into. Now, just imagine, you know the front doors of our building. You could see the bolts on the outside. You could pick them up and down with a little handle to bolt it down into the ground. And let's assume it's going into a threshold. We'll see the difference in ground and threshold. Imagine if that came out and you just had to put it in every time and bolt and unbolt. So that would be the case of nagar. And that would tackle look even more like binyan because it's going down into the threshold of the door, which is even more binyan-like. So, the donuts fail a binyan. Therefore, there are bonner gozer. Again, let's assume it's there are bonner for now. There are bonner gozer even worse. Therefore, what do you need to do? Lo sagi b'hachi. It's not enough to think you're going to use it before Shabbos. It's not enough to just do physical action. Prepare it before Shabbos. V'ein nolin bo. You can't use it. Ela in kein yehei kosher. It has to be tied. Meaning it has to be. Now again, it goes without saying that in all our modern doors, like the actual front door of our building, you could bolt it up and down because it's modish attached. It's in there. But even if it wasn't in there, if it was at least tied on, and that would show that it's just part of the bolting mechanism of the door, not wouldn't even look like building. So it has to be tied off. But how well does it have to be tied? Kate said, yay, kosher. So there are three cases, although it will get a little more complicated. Do I have?
Yeah. What if they have an
essence,
you open the door, and you flip down the door stopper? It doesn't go into the ground, but it has a rubber thing, or really stop it up there.
Ah, but it doesn't go in. So then that would not be like a nagar and would not be like a kana. That would probably just be nothing. That would be heter gomer. Yeah, all that does is it stops the door. That would be, again, all the things that nowadays, again, don't get me wrong, all the things in our modern doors that you flip and you turn are all mutter, because they're all attached to the door, so that's even better than being tied. But theoretically, if you had to, like, take it out of your pocket and put it in there to keep the door in place. Oh, those door stoppers that you wedge in the door. How about those door stoppers? So those don't go into anything. So if they don't go into anything, then it's not a chash of Mosef al binyan at all. If they don't go into anything. So then you're perfectly okay. But the key is not actually going... The key is not the bolt. The key... The key is not going, it's not like you put the key in and the key attaches the door to the wall. The key just turns something, so that's for sure okay. Because the key itself is not like a naga or like a kana. So there are three cases here. I might do it a little reverse. There is a case of Hirosho Blustero. Then, even if tied weakly, there are two ways you could tie your bolt onto the door. What do you mean tie it onto the door? You want to put this in and take it out. So you don't want to lose it. So what do? You would just tie it onto your door and let it hang there, and then you put it in and take it out whenever you need it. It would always be there. So it can be tied weakly or strongly. What does that mean? Tied weakly means if you actually tried to pick it up by the rope would break. You're like tying it on by thread just symbolically, but it's not actually. The thread is too weak to support the bolt. Tied strongly means it's kind of strong. You could take the string and twirl it around, the bolt would still be on it. So the strong tying is like an effective tying. The weak tying is just symbolic tying. It just symbolically shows that you're not building. It's part of the mechanism. So if it has Rosh Glustra, Dainashi of Ve'echme Rosh Roy Lichtos Voshe Doma Lakli, Sai Biafilu in Kosher Vechevel Dacha in a Roy Lios Nitel Bo. If it has Rosh Glustra, what does that mean? At the top, the piece of wood has a knob. Like, it looks like this. Has a knob at the top. So if it has a knob at the top, then, in the old days, when people looked at a stick of wood with a knob at the top, they would say, that's not a building material, are you kidding? That's a olive crushing stick. So then it wouldn't look like binyan, because it looks like an olive crushing stick, and you don't take an olive crushing stick and build it into a house, you take wood and build it into your house. So then, even if it's just tied a tiny drop, that's okay. The shedomal kli, if it looks like a kli, doesn't matter where it's tied. Even tied weakly, even tied to the crossbar, and not to the door itself. You know, a door might have like a bar that went across it, a briach, like in the Mishkan. So even if it's just tied onto an ancillary part and not the door itself, which is not attached to the door, it's just like sitting there, that's still good enough. Then, what about the other case? What if it doesn't have a gluster? It's just a stomp piece of wood. So then he adds, even if it's a long string and it's not actually hanging, it's just lying on the ground, that's fine. If you have an So what are we saying here? If it's ein barosho glustera, if it's just a stump stick of wood, then it depends what it's tied to. If it's tied to the door, then it's mutter, even tied weakly. Even if it's just tied by like a thread, which of course couldn't actually keep it holding on, just about. But if it's tied to the crossbar, I have no idea if that's the real word, I mean, it's just tied to the briach, the big bolt that's lying in a slot in the door, then that's a little less shy to the door. So then it depends. If it's tied weakly, then it's usher. If it's tied strongly, even though it's not suspended, right? Even, what do you mean it's not suspended? It's not like hanging in the air. It's on the ground. But it's tied by a strong enough rope that it could hang by that rope. Then it's mutter. So basically, the isser is in the isser. Oh, hold on. I should have another, possibly, of course. Not tied, then it's also awesome. So the isser is either if it's not tied at all, if it's just a stick of wood which you bolt down, that's usher. It looks like bone net. Or if it's tied but only onto an ancillary part, not the door itself, but only very weakly. But if it's tied onto an ancillary part of the door strongly or onto the door itself at all, then it looks like it's part of the mechanism and it doesn't look like bone net. Now, there's some cases which are still a little unclear. So, what about Barosha Gluster is mutter, even if it's tied weakly. What about Barosha Blustera, so it looks like an olive crushing kli, and it's not tied at all? Would that also be mutter? So, this the Shulchan Aruch is not explicit about. So let's see. If it's tied weekly, then it's mutter. What if it's not tied on at all? Then what's the din?
Shouldn't imply that, I mean.
So you would imply, you would think from the Mechaber that it should be usser, right? But on the other hand, it really looks like an olive crushing kli, so it doesn't look like binyan. So this is a machlokes rishonim, and Beis Yosef, and also in the Mishnah Berurah, etc. This is a machlokes rishonim. It's usser according to the Rush and the Torah and the Mechaber, because the Mechaber says it has to be tied. It's mutter according to the Rambam. What about Psak? The Taz agrees that it's Usser. The Mishnah Berurah brings down the Elio Rabba, who says it's Mutter, but the Gra says it's Usser, and the Mishnah Berurah agrees that it's Usser. So basically, we hold it's Usser like Pshat and the Mechaber. What about something better than a Glustera? What would be even better than a Glustera? What would be even better than it has a knot at the end that looks like a Kli? So what about, this is dealt with in the Bir Halacha, what if this is a Nagar? What if it not just has Barosh of Glustera, like you cut it off of the tree and had a little knob at the end, but what if you made it into a special shape? Not that it has a Glustera, but you made a Glustera. Like, for example, you made a handle on it so you could easily take it on or off. Or you made a Glustera on it so if you needed to use it for Zaysin, if you're not, made it a special shape, or if you made a handle on it. So that's, it's not just like it has a knot at the end so it looks like a kli. You might have made it into a special bolt or kli. Then, that's the Nachlokes is worked down in the Bir Halacha. The Beis Yosef, even the Beis Yosef says it's mutter even if it's not tied. That's the Beis Yosef. But according to the Torah, at least the way the Gra interprets it, according to the Bir Halacha, it still needs to be tied. So the question is, number one, what if it has a Glustera? Does it need to be tied at all? We paskin yes. What if it's better than a Glustera? You mamish made it into a special shape. Then does it still need to be tied? Machlokes, but probably room to be. He doesn't say, but it sounds like there's room to be makel. Okay, I don't know how often these things happen, again, because we didn't usually, but every once in a while, you might have a door that the way it bolts is into the bottom of the threshold, and the bolt broke, and you have to, like, stick a piece of wood in. So then, this would be real halacha lemaisa in that case. Now, Sif Beis tells us there's one case of a nagar that's even worse than this. Sorry, any questions? Okay, Sif Beis. Kol nagar sh'amarnu ma'ir sh'eskupa gevoloch sh'enot sobe miftan einu noki ba'aretz. All the nagars we've been talking about, which were more chomer than a kaneh, which itself is more chomer than a pekak, is where the bolt goes down into the, what's it called? A lintel? A threshold? What's it called?
Threshold.
The bolt goes down into the threshold, but not into the ground. Because if you look at it, here is the ground. Here is the threshold, right? Because, you know, a door has a frame, right? They build a threshold, and they build a mashkov, and they build a mezuzah. And here's the door. And the bolt goes this far. So it goes down into a hole in the threshold. But it doesn't go mamish into the ground. But what if it went mamish into a hole in the ground? That would be even more binyan-like. It's mamish in the ground. It's not just in the floor. It's in the ground. So that would be even more chomer. So what about that case? That's like our bolts, right? In the student center bolt, or the bolt in front of our building, there is no threshold that it goes into to lock. It just, they drill the hole in the tiles, and it goes into those tiles. That's like into the ground. They drill the hole, and it goes mamish into a hole in the ground. That's a nagar hanikmas. This is what's called nikmas, at least we went to Arpshah and the Gemara. That's even more chomer. So what's the din?
If there's a special ready-made
hole. We'll get there in a second. Okay, good point. Hold that thought. Eino noki ba'aretz aval. But if the whole threshold was broken to the point where instead of going to the threshold, the threshold is broken, you drove the nagar down into the ground, then it's binyan, it's usher in all cases. So if you have a nagar hanikmas, which means it goes into the ground, then that's always usher. Is there any way to, is there any heter? I mean, even if it's tied, it's usher, because it looks so much like binyan. Is there any heter at all? So, that's what the Mishnah Berurah deals with in Sifkat and Chaf Aleph. What if you made a handle to it? You made it into a special shape. That's a machlokas. So, it's normally, let's say, a regular nagar is usher, but what if you made a handle on it? Right, so you don't say it didn't just happen to have a knob. You made a knob or a handle to show that it's just a bolt, to use as a bolt. Then that's not locus. The Rif says it's mutter, and the Tor and Rashi, at least according to the Gra, say it's usser. So in that case, let's just think of an example. If you had, in the front of our building, I'm pretty sure what the tsura of the bolt looks like is it's like this. It has a handle on top to pick it up and down. So what if that bolt was, it came off, it wasn't attached anymore. You just had to take it out of the closet, take it out of the drawer in the shomer desk, and put it in every time you wanted to bolt the door at night to keep thieves from getting in. So that would be a nagar that that is nikmas, that goes down, or perhaps that goes down into the floor. In which case, even if you tied it on, it wouldn't be mutter. The only question, what about the fact we made a little handle? The Rif would say, that's okay, because you made a special handle, which shows it's for putting in and out. And the Grub and the Torah, Rashi and the Torah, to say it was still usher. So that would be a little unclear. However, there's another Tzad L'Hakalir, as no one pointed out, which is the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Taz. The Taz says that our bolts, which go into the ground, even deep into the ground, are mutter. Why? It says because two reasons. Number one, they have a handle, like the Rif. And number two, the Gemara maybe only meant if there wasn't a ready-made hole in the ground. Right? If you look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch make it sound like? It was supposed to go into a hole in the threshold. But you know what happened? Someone really strong once opened the door, or twice or three times opened the door without picking up the bolt. So what happens? The bolt breaks through the threshold. And now the threshold is broken and it doesn't keep it anymore. So what do? You come, you stick it in really hard so it digs a hole in the ground. That looks like binyan. But if you drilled a hole in the ground special for this, that doesn't look like binyan. That just looks like bolting. So therefore, that's what you meant, right? So the Taz would say, in our, let's say that metal thing came out and you have to take it out of the shomer desk and bolt the door. Since the specially drilled hole in the ground, and it's not digging, obviously you're not going to dig on Shabbos, because even during Chol, you haven't dug the hole here. It's a specially made hole in the ground. So if it's going to a specially made hole in the ground, then we can be makel. And the Mishnah Berurah says that in this case where it's a specially made hole in the ground, he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, what the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's a specially made hole in the ground, then everyone will say it's mutter, because even though the Gro won't agree to the heter of the handle, even though the Gro won't think this little metal handle on top of the bolt, if I'm remembering it correctly, works, everyone will agree that if the also has a hole in the ground, maybe that's not what the Gemara was worried about, and that's mutter.
But only with the handle? Not a regular nagar?
It's not clear whether he would be so much on that svara without a handle. It's not clear. I'm not sure. If it came up, it would be an interesting shayla. Without a handle, would he also be so much on that svara? The way he makes it sound is like the fila das hakra yesh lagim litzeirah hatama rishon shalataz. Mishnah Berurah makes it sound like it only been seiraf, but there's room for eon.
First, he starts to say that.
Right, I hear, yeah. I'm not, I have to leave it as a tzarchin. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think we have 100% proof. Okay, so much for bolts. Again, in our days, it usually doesn't come up because our bolts are even better than tied. Their mom has attached it. But Luya 2, the bolt came out and you have to put it back, then you would have to apply these rules. And again, I would just add that all of this is if you don't leave it bolted for 2 months, if you're not going to, you know, if this is the, you know, if this is something which you take in and out, but if you're bolting something to, like, lock up a house that's slated, you know, that's condemned by the, whoever it is condemns houses, I don't know, What?
I think cities.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know which department. So if it's, it has to condemn and you're bolting all the doors shut just to keep it from becoming a hangout for drug dealers or something, then that could be more machmer. and then the rules might change a little, and you'd have to know exactly what they would be. We're not going to do that right now. Let's go to, if there's no other questions, of Gimel. Sif Gimel. Rechava shachori habatim. She'ein nechnasim yotzim atadir. So the truth is, the machab is already committing himself to one particular pshat, but we'll see that. If you have like a backyard in your house, now again, a backyard isn't what we call a backyard. Because what we call a backyard is much more similar to a chatzer. It's someplace people live in. Right? By live, I mean you do living activities, not you live your whole life. But our backyards, we play or we lounge or we eat or we suntan or whatever it is we do. That's like the Gemara's chatzer, someplace you live. The rechava shachori habatim, the backyards in their days, were not used for living. I have no idea why. Go ask a story. They were used for like long-term storage and other, non-regular residential uses. So let's say, and you don't go in and out of it all the time. Let's say you made a door to the opening. Or even you just hang a mat. That's their mats, but made out of reeds. You just hang it. You just put a mat in the opening to make become a door. And likewise, if you have a break in a fence and you make thorns. I don't mean you like grow thorn bushes here, but you make like out of thorns, you make a sort of wall and you stick it in there, like a door. In Yesh Lahem Tzir, if they have a hinge, now let's remember what a hinge means. It's actually machlok, is what it means Yesh Bahem Tzir. I think it's a bit of a machlok, as you're showing, the Ritva says it means on the ground there's a place for the hinge. But we Paskin, like, clearly, the Mechaber sounds like Rashi and the Rama. The door is a hinge. Let's remember what a hinge meant in those days. Nothing to do with our modern-day hinges, right? If this is a door, then a hinge meant it has a piece sticking up here and a piece sticking up here, right, to go in a little hole in the top and the bottom where the two sides, or it could have a piece sticking out here and a piece sticking up here, and then be a door that flips up and down, like a dog door. That's what it, so it's here shouldn't be a hinge. What should here be? A pivot or something, we decided? Whatever the English word is. So, although some of the din would be the same, I'm just saying that they don't imagine like our kind of hinges. Imagine like a little stick that would go into a hole that it can then swing on. It would then pivot on. So if these things, what's the problem with these things? The problem with these things is that they are like binyan. We'll have to see why in a second. Therefore, the Gemara says, if they have a hinge, perish tier, nope, and adults will come by eight chaipi, lachnis, bar, slash. Oh, good, he interprets it here. He says, what does a hinge mean? You make a little hole here and you stick in a piece of wood, and that piece of wood will be what it pivots on. So if it has a tier, oh, if you elam after tier, elisha ha'ilam tier, or it does, it used to have a tier. The tier broke, but it used to have a tier. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham add, and you can still notice where it used to be. Meaning, if it used to have a tier, but you can't notice anymore, that's worthless. What it means is either it has a tzir or the tzir broke off, but you can see where the tzir was attached. You could tell it had a tzir. Then nolin behem. Afilahin negrun ba'aretz rak shakashram tlo'em linol behem. Velochashim kabona shenikram shudelis kevin shahayel lahem. Kevin shahayel lahem tzir. So then you can put this door or mat or thorn thing into and out of the fence to close the door, right? You can put it in and take it out. Because since it has a hinge, even though the hinge isn't attached, since it has a hinge, therefore it looks like just a door and it doesn't have the appearance of bone. There are myads, but koshkin, yeshlim, tzir, adayin, vavachal, yachsur, tzulim, komuk, dirshis, bar, lakaman, etc. For sure, if it once had a hinge, if it still has a hinge, for sure it's muster, although he points out, you can't stick the hinge back into the place, because we learned about that. He footnotes Tafkof Yutes. We also learned about that in later in Shinyur Gimel, that putting the hinge back in might be like Tekiya, might be Foreign Vona. And that's obviously the permanent thing. So you're not putting it back in the hinges, you're just stuffing it in. Basically, what you're doing is, this is a very primitive door, where you're just taking a board or a mat or a woven together forms and sticking them into the hole in the fence to close it up, and then pulling them out when you want to open it, which is a little more like binyan. So what's the din? The din is if.
So where are the hinges?
So where the hinges, meaning you made hinges with it, but you didn't attach it with the hinges. So if it has hinges, just it's not. If it would be attached with the hinges, then it's pushing this motor because you're not taking it off and on. You're just closing and opening it. Obviously, if it's in the hinges and you're just swinging it open and closed, that's obviously mutter. Problem is here, you're stuffing up a hole in the fence and opening a hole in the fence. That's taka like bone. So the din is if the board you're stuffing it with at least has hinges, or it looks like it once had hinges, so it's nicker that it's a door and not just a piece of wood, or whatever it may be, then it's mutter, because it's nicker that it's just something meant to go in and out. But if it's just a stomp piece of wood, then it's usser. But one thing added, though, I feel in the girl art, so I should caution with one little bit him. Okay, we said it. Even if it's on the ground, as long, even if it's tied and dragging on the ground. So, one second. Yeah. Okay, let's... Let's just put this on the board. Where am I?
It has to be tied before Shabbos, right?
Yes, correct. So now we have... What should we call this? The non... Right, the... how do we put a door that you don't actually open and shut, you just put in and out? Right, a door that's not on hinges. It's not on hinges, right? Like, imagine this door. Some of the hinges broke, so it was just sitting there. And what do I do when I want to close up the room? I stuff it into the door frame. And let's assume that maybe, like, I'll put a little piece of cardboard on the side so it fit in tight. And when I want to open the door, I just push it out of the door frame. That's what we're talking about here. So, what's the din? If it's not tied to the wall at all, then it's awesome, right? The whole heter is only if it was tied. If it's tied, but not suspended... What do I mean, tied but not suspended? Obviously, it couldn't be such a heavy deal. The door is tied, but it's not hanging in the air. It's lying on the ground. It's tied with a string, but lying on the ground. Then it depends if it has or had hinges. Then it's mutter. If it never had hinges, then it's usser. But there's a better case. What's the better case? The better case is. If it's avolim ein lahem, sorry, ein ol mahem elam kin ha yigvoim min haaretz avolim ein lahem tivlo haylanth. If it never hinges, then ein ol mahem can't use it unless it's suspended off the ground. If it's tied and suspended, then it's mutter regardless of hinges. So, what do you mean tied but suspended? Let's say, imagine on the wall, and this is this is the string, and this is the delos. So if the delos is lying on the ground, it just happens to be tied by a string, that's called tied but not suspended. It's only mutter if it has or had hinges. But if it's mamish, it's a kol shehu, off the ground, then obviously that looks more like a door you open and close. If it's a kol, if it's not even lying down on the ground, it's obviously shayach to be part of that wall in and out, and therefore even without hinges, it's mutter. That's the din of this delos. Now what's a little funny about this case of a delos is all the Rishonim asked, they said, hold on a second. Don't we know isn't this like, what is this just like? You stick the delos into the hole. It's just like, what else do you stick into a hole?
Hunger.
What? No. Meaning, you have a hole in your wall, so you stick something in to close up that hole.
Gotcha.
It's like a pkaka chalun. A pkaka chalun is heter gomer. So why are we so machmir? So that's the Rishonim are bothered by. So, Taka the Balamor says... You're right. This whole Mishnah is Aliba Rabbi Eliezer, who we don't hold like Lava Aliba Hilchasa. You're right, Taka. There is no Sif Gimel. This whole Mishnah, we don't like this whole idea. What are you talking about? We hold the Pekaka Chalom as Mutter. But the Rosh and the Ravid, the Rosh and the Ravid and the Tor are the source of the Mechaber, because the Mechaber adds something here. The fourth word was She'ein Nechnasin V'Yotzin Batagir. You don't go in and out often. What did the Mechaber add? Look at the last line of the Mechaber now, right after the Chavkas Mishtabura. But if it's a doorway that you go in and out all the time, then you can put in this door even if it never had a hinge, even if it's lying on the ground. And the Mishabur explains, while it's not so poshut here, even if it's not tied at all. But that Mechaber, he doesn't say even if it's not tied at all. He says even if it's lying on the ground. But if it's... So what does the Mishabur add? This is not the Mishabur. This is really the Mechaber. What is the Mechaber adding? From the Rush and the Raven. From the Rush, who got it from the Raven. This is where it's infrequently opened. But if it's frequently opened, then it's like kakachalon and always mutter. And that's how they answer the stira between Sif Gimel and Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph was, and that's where the Bir Halacha, remember the Bir Halacha I point out in the beginning of Sif Aleph, says the heter of kakachalon is only if you put it in and out frequently, not if you leave it there for a long time. He got that from here. It's exactly what Gavron points out here. He said the din of kakachalon and the din of Rechov Shachori Abatin is really the same din. There's no difference in a board in the window and a board in the doorway. The only difference is that in Sif Aleph we're talking about where you take it in and out every time it rains or all the time. In Sif Gimel we're talking about where you leave it there for a long time, like this your backyard is someplace you hardly ever go to, only every few months. When you close it up, you're closing it up long term. Therefore, it's more of a problem. So that's how he explains that not that there's a difference between stopping up a window and stopping up a doorway. Same exact din. Magen Avraham points out based on the Mechaber. Just Sif Aleph was talking about if you take it in and out all the time, then it's Heter Gomer. Sif Gimel is talking about if you don't take it and you leave it there for a long, long time, then it's Usur, except under limited circumstance. If it's suspended, then it's not like building, or if it's at least tied and lying on the ground and has or had hinges.
Does this need Machshava or something?
Yeah, the Chor would always need Machshava. Correct. It would still need Machshava. Now, what does it mean a long time? What does it mean a long time? So the Bir Halacha talks about, who said that? What'd you say?
30 days.
That's the Bir Halacha. Master Shein Eflas Yotz Batadr. I am Mishabur. I am Tzav Shavz. I'm Sadr. I'm Pesach. I'm the Kanish. I'm Pesach. I'm Pesach. I'm Pesach. I'm Pesach. I'm Pesach. 30 days is the dividing line. If you go in and out at least once a month, you know, let's say it's, I don't know, it's where you keep your copies of the special Tachlunim for Erev Rosh Chodesh, for Yom Kippur Katan, or you keep your Rosh Chodesh tie, then that's okay. But if you don't go in and out once a month, then that's a problem. Now, this is something which is worth pointing out. What he seems to be doing is sort of drawing a dividing line. What's Arai? What's Keva? Arai is like less than 30 days. Keva is more than 30 days. However, don't be misled here. He's talking here about a specific case of closing a door or a window. In closing a door or a window, less than 30 days is considered just Arai and Mutter. More than 30 days is perhaps a Chashash, because it's Keva, and it seems more like Bona. However, when we talk about like Ohel Arai and those other things, then we're a little more Machmir, because there's a Prima Gadim in the Eish Lavram, the beginning of Shin Tes Vav, who says even 8 days, even more than a week, is kavua for like making an ohel. So don't take this 30 days and apply it to everything we've learned. When it comes to closing up doors and windows, mamela, that's just like closing a door and a window. So we're a little more makel, and we say, less than 30 days is arai. But if it would be a question of like, can I make a tent? Mosif halo al arai mamish and things like that. Then, or do you want to know if I build a tent, is that derais or drabanan? Then for other things, we might say that the getter is more or less than a week. If it's more than a week, the Prima Gadim says 8 or 9 days is already. He says a sukkah is an old kavua. That lasts for 8 or 9 days. Right, I guess 8 days in Israel, 9 days in Chutz Laaretz. But we'd be more machmir. If you're talking about, you want to know if a tent is keva or a rai, we'd be more machmir and we'd say 8 or 9 days. But if you're talking about closing a door or a window, then we're more make and we say anything less than 30 days is okay. So just, we shouldn't misinterpret this beer halacha. This is specifically here. But if you want to know about Oel Keva and Arai, we'd probably say anything more than a week is a problem.
But a sukkah is a diras arai.
It's machlok sano. We passing a sukkah is a diras arai. That's a good ha'ara. We pass in a sukkah is a diras arai. No, We paskin a sukkah can be a diras araya, but it doesn't have to be, I think. Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be a diras keva. We paskin it can be a diras araya, but it doesn't have to be a diras araya. You could build it out of strong, iron, thick, nuclear bomb-proof walls if you wanted to. Although, I mean, the roof has to be stuck, but that's for a different reason. Right? And really, me'ikra din, you could even use 2x4s and a nice strong schach, except that it might be confused with the house. But I don't think we require it to be a diras arai. Although I'm not holding a chasuka right now. Okay, sif dalet. Sif dalet is the case of delas almana. Gemara is worried about a delas almana. We don't know what a delas almana is. It's a little unclear what a delas almana is. A delas almana is a problem. What's the problem with delas almana? You can't use a delas almana. Again, what are we talking about here? Keep in mind, we're not talking about anything that's attached to you swing open and close. That's pasher butter. We're talking about things you put in and stick in and then pull out. So a delas almana is a big problem. What's a delas almana? And a delas almana, you're not allowed to use even if it has a hinge. Again, don't misinterpret me. If it has a hinge and the hinge is inserted and you just open and close it like a normal person, of course you can use that. What it means is, if it has a hinge but it's not on the hinge, just has a hinge, and then you have to stick it in hard and pull it out hard, a delas almana you can never close. That's super chama. What is a delas almana? What makes a delas widowed? Right? So that's machlokas in the Gemara. Whether it means it's only one piece of wood, as opposed to a normal door is built together with many pieces of wood, so it looks like a door. But if it's one piece of wood, it looks like a construction material. The other pshat in the Gemara is that delas almana means that there is no threshold underneath. there's no threshold under the door. Because what does it mean, widowed? Widowed means alone. So one pshat means, what does widowed mean? It's only one piece of wood. Nebuch doesn't have a partner. It's only one piece of wood, which looks more like building. Right, because if you build a door out of many pieces of wood, then it looks like someone built a door. If you have one piece of wood, it looks like you're just putting the next shlav on your building. The other side, the delas almana is a widowed, it doesn't have a partner of a threshold underneath. It just lies on the floor. It doesn't have a threshold underneath. And again, if it has a threshold underneath, it looks more like a door. If it doesn't have a threshold underneath, it looks like your mom is building the building on the ground. So, which shot is right? So this is a... This is a machlokas. The Torah says we're machmir both ways. If it's one piece of wood, we're machmir. And if it has no threshold, we're machmir. Either way, one piece of wood with a threshold is usher. Many pieces of wood without a threshold is also usher. The Rambam paskins either of or makel both ways. If it's one piece of wood without a threshold, that's taka. With a threshold is mutter. Two pieces of wood without a threshold, mutter. We're only machmir if it's one piece of wood and has no threshold. So, okay, just very quickly, luach echad, one piece of wood, many pieces, and here we have, there is an iskupa, there is a threshold, versus no iskupa. So this case is definitely a delas almana. That's widowed according to all pshatim. This case is definitely not a delas almana. That's a happily married delas. The other two cases, where like according to one pshat it is, according to one pshat it isn't, is a machlokes. The Rambam would say mutter, and the Tor would say usser. And the same thing here. Okay, so if it only qualifies for one definition, not the other, the Rambam is makel, the Tor is machmer. What does the Mechaber say? He's also machmer. He says, if it's one piece of wood, whether or not it has a threshold, or if it has no threshold, regardless of how it's built, and when you open it, it doesn't swing on hinges. You just take it out and put it on the side, and then you throw it back in. Even if it has a hinge, even if you can see it has a hinge, so it looks a little door-like, it's still usher, because delas almana, in the other ways, it looks not like a door. The Rambam just gives some applications from the Beis Yosef. But if it's made of many boards of wood, and let's say it has a threshold, then it's mutter. Even though you totally take it out of the doorway and put it on the side, and then you totally stuff it back in, and it looks like building, in Yeshua's Kopa, if it has a threshold, then it's okay. The Ruah didn't work. Should only crush from higher baby Yishchakika l'mal l'matzah shemachta by makrush from shadinam kedelas hove inan luach echad b'chol adelas. Likewise, if you have many pieces of wood, he's giving here a double kula. What he's saying is, let's say you don't have a door made of two pieces of wood, but you just put two pieces of wood in to close it. That's also considered mutter, that's not an almana. What if you don't have a threshold, but you have, like, a groove that it sticks into? That's also not considered almana, that's mutter. So the two kulas, he says, is if you have not a door made of two pieces of wood, but mamish, two separate unattached pieces of wood, and you have to put them both in, that's still mutter, that counts as two pieces. You don't say each one is one piece on almana. Say, no, it's a happily married couple. And the second kula is, even if you don't have a threshold, but you have grooves that it snaps into, that's like a threshold, and that's mutter. So those are the two kulas of the Ramah. Now, l'maisa, what is a little confusing here, I must admit.
Correct.
But you need delos of many pieces of wood and an iskupa. You can substitute two pieces of wood separate and a groove. But you're right, you need both. Correct. Because the Mechaber paskins, right? The Mechaber paskins, like the Torah, you need both factors to make it move. The only confusing part here is what's exactly the case? How does this fit in with everything we've said until now? Like, for example, until now, we've had many different distinctions. Like, if it's tied on, if it's not tied on. Or if you open it frequently or infrequently, right? So what's the case here? So this is very, very confusing. The Magen Avraham deals with the Mishnah Berurah. Say, is this talking about something you open frequently or open infrequently? What are we talking about? Do you open it frequently or infrequently? So the Bach, the Mishnah Berurah must bring this down in Sifkaten Lamed. So he hints at it in some Katan Lamed Aleph. What he says is that there's a machlokes rishonim. The Beis Yosef and the Gra holds the Beis Yosef sounds like even if you open and close it frequently, Adelis Almana is so much looks like Binyan that even if you open and close it frequently, it's still Usher. It's a big Chomer. Well, the Bach says from Tosos, no, this is only Usher if you open and close it infrequently. It's not open to this. If you open and close it frequently, it's of course Mutter. So what are we paskin? What if it would be? This is all if you close it infrequently. But what if you would close it frequently? Then the Gra would say, still Usser. The Bach, based on Tosos, would say, Mutter in any case. What is the Mishnah Berurah according to the Magen Avraham? How is he Machriya? He's Machriya, it depends. In the case where it has two factors against it, then we'll go like the Gra. If it is a delos alman according to both pshatim, it's one piece of wood and there's no threshold, that even if you close and unclose it frequently, it's still usher. But if it's the case where you have one definition but not the other definition, where it's a machlokas in the Rambam and the Torah, let's say it has one piece of wood but it has a threshold, or it's two pieces of wood without a threshold, and you open and close it frequently, then we can be somech on a seiruf of the Rambam and the Bach. The Bach really quoting Tosfos. So that's how he is. Machriya. Likewise, there's another machlokes. What if it is? We'll go into all the shitas. What if it's tied? What if it's tied onto the wall? That is a machlokes. And what do we do? What we say is, if it's frequently opened then it's mutter in any case. And if it's infrequently opened, then it's, usser in the case where it's an almana. So basically, this gets very complicated. I realize how to integrate this delos almana with everything else is very complicated. Just to briefly summarize, number one, the machlokes is what does delos almana mean? Number two, what if it's a delos almana but it's open frequently? And we make up shara. We say if it's derech almana according to both shots and usser, according to one shot mutter. What if it's a delos almana but it's tied on? We make another shara. If it's open frequently, mutter. If it's open infrequently, usser. Okay, one can make it. If I knew how to make four-dimensional charts, I can make it very, very clear. But we're not going to go there now. Okay. I think that's... there's no other questions. Mishubur Sivkotin Lamed Beis. Mashri said that Umayri Ksheinu Kshura Volami Kshur Tluya Afshinei Gweres Ba'arch Shaposko Shari Afshinei Tikunei Glossos Karoi V'hain Mishum. But when is he Mako? Dekan Mayri V'pesach Asur L'Kesiv Yitzia Tadur. Only if it's frequently closed and opened. Again, you have to look in the Gruah for the whole Cheshbon. There's a whole Cheshbon behind this, which we're not going to go into now. Okay, I'm not with your mechila. I won't. I actually could probably make a two-dimensional chart that will do it, but I want to move on. So we'll leave this, and if you want to make it into a better chart, I'm sure you can do that on your own. Okay, now, let's go to Sif 10. Sif Yud. Enough for all these things that might look like or be bona when you close up doors and windows. Let's go back to our issue of, excuse me, Mosif Alabinyan, or Mosif. So, Sif Yud talks about, it makes an assumption. Sif Yud talks about, what if you add things to the floor? What's the din of adding things to the floor? So again, if you add things to the floor, that's also Mosif Alabinyan, even if, and Binyan doesn't have to be a house. Adding things to the floor is always bona. Let's just, even before we get to Sif Yud, let's just review some of the most obvious cases of bona, because the real most obvious cases of bona are like spread out throughout. There's no place, since they're like too obvious, there's no place where we all summarize that. But let's review. Making an oil keva, that's total bona d'oraisa. Bona by land-based structures, like Mosif Alabinyan, is total bona d'oraisa, like a real Mosif Alabinyan, where you're mevatel, you leave it there permanently. Or, for example, drilling. Remember, we had drilling into Mechobel Karka is real binyan, d'oraisa. Fixing anything Mechobel Karka is binyan d'oraisa. If your sink breaks, if your, anything Mechobel Karka that fixes, that broken, you fix it, that's all binyan d'oraisa. Any part of the house that's broken, you fix it, that's all binyan d'oraisa. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay. Let's hold that thought. But certainly, if you're doing like a real repair, like, let me give you an example. Well, certainly screwing around, let's say the faucet came off and you screwed it back on. That's all attached to the pipe system, which is attached to the ground. That's avada asur d'oraisa. That's a big problem. Even if it wasn't screwed on, if it was snapped on, that would still be asur. Anything with chabad karka, that's asur. And for sure, if you actually work on the ground itself, that's for sure bona d'oraisa. Like, for example, digging a hole in the ground. That's the Gemara has in Daf Ayin Gimel. Digging a hole in the ground is bona d'oraisa. It's only d'oraisa if you need the hole, right? You dig a hole for some reason, that's a bona d'oraisa. If you level the ground, right? You level out the ground, that's mashva gumos, you fill in holes or you take away bumps, that's bona d'oraisa. And we're not going to go into the details of this, but the isser of leveling the ground is most important, not because we would think we might level the ground, but because of all the zeros, unless you come mashva gumos, which we did them in Choresh. Because if it's agricultural ground, it's Choresh. If it's residential ground, it's bona. So we're not going to go through again the plain marbles and all the other things. Another example is, of course, adding to the ground. If you're mevatel something, you add it to the ground, that is also an issur d'oraisa of bona. For example, a manhole cover. If you would put the manhole cover back in the ground, I don't mean, let's say you have like a little trap door to go to your basement, you go in and out all the time, that's different. But a manhole cover that you leave there, right, how often they open the manhole covers? Very infrequently. Putting the manhole cover back is an issur of bona. You are adding to the ground. You're mosif on the ground. Mosif alabinyan to the ground. And likewise, putting anything down on the ground. The classic example would be putting down dirt. Putting down dirt is an issur d'oraisa. Now, there's a difference in putting down dirt. Let's say I take breadcrumbs and I throw them all over the ground for the bird to eat. That's not an issur at all. Because I'm not mevatel to the ground. I don't want it to stay to the ground. It's not part of the ground. It's just on the ground. But dirt, which is part of the ground, if I add dirt to the ground, let's say I add soil to prepare for planting a garden, that actually might be chorish. But in the old days, when they had dirt floors, they would add some more dirt to the ground because it was becoming worn away. Right? Too many people walked and took dirt out on their shoes. Not enough people brought dirt in on their shoes, so the ground was sinking. So you'd add some more dirt. In my driveway, the driveway sinks. So what do I need to do? I need to pick up the stones, the bricks, and add some more dirt. So adding that dirt, that's an issur d'oraisa of bona. So anytime you mevatel something to the ground, you put a carpeting down, well, that's usually done inside. That's all an issur d'oraisa of bona. Okay, that's pashut. That's so pashut, it's spread out all over. Now, what's the case in Sif Yud? The case in Sif Yud isn't a case where you are not mevatel to the ground. Is where you take something and you put it on the ground, but you're not mevatel there. You're just putting it on the ground temporarily for some purpose. And then you're going to use it for its real purpose. So let's see what the din is there. If your chatzar, the chatzar is then with dirt, and it got rained and it was muddy, and you can't use a muddy chatzar. You don't want to have people track mud all over. So what do? You're allowed to spread straw all over the ground, so you can walk on the straw, and that's not considered adding to the binyan. Why isn't it considered adding to the binyan? Because what do you use straw for, really? Do you really use it for building? What is straw used for? In the old days. Maybe even nowadays. For animal food. Right, what are you going to do? You're just going to leave it there till the ground's not so muddy anymore to absorb some of the water and to protect your shoes from the mud. And then tomorrow you'll give it to your animal. So you're not mevatel long-term to the building. You're just putting it there temporarily. Therefore, it's not an issur d'oraisa of bona. However, it's similar to bona. In what way is it similar to bona? This, the Mishnah Berurah explains. There is a gzeirah d'rabbanan. Let's see what the gzeirah d'rabbanan is. excuse me, I'm sorry. Uvavachi yishana, you have to do it with a shinoi, so only d'rabbanan look like some sort of ovda d'chol, like something similar to bona. Which is, the Gemara says, lo yizra, lo basav, lo kupa, lo shulei kupa. You can't take it in a basket. Sal and kupa are both types of baskets. You can't take out straw in a basket and throw it all over the floor. That's the normal way. You need a shinoi. El of a shulei kupa, you have to put it on the, what's a shulayim? Is there an English word for shulayim? The bottom of a barrel? It's got to be a word. Okay, lomashana. If this is your barrel, then this is the shulayim. Not within the walls. You have to only put it on the bottom, not in the walls. How do you do that? So Rashi said, maybe you have a broken basket that the walls fall off. But Tosfos gives a much more practical idea. You turn the basket upside down, and instead of putting straw in the basket, you turn the basket upside down and put your straw precariously perched on the basket. And you carry it into your yard, throw it down. Go back to your storehouse, get some straw, put it on the upside down basket, throw it down. With that shinoi, that's matter that it's not even a problem on the d'rabbanan level. The higher the shinoi will be out also. But you're not allowed to carry it in a basket, and you're also not exposed to the gemara, but makes sense from Tosfos. You're not allowed to carry it by hand. You can't just grab a bunch in your hands and bring it out. You have to bring it out in an abnormal way, like on an upside down basket. Because otherwise it might be a d'rabbanan. Now, the Mishnah Berurah just pointed out that there are too much regas so far. If you're mamish mevatel something to the ground, you want to improve your ground permanently, then that's an issur d'oraisa of bona. If you just want to improve your ground temporarily, you just want to put some straw here until it dries up, and then you're going to feed it to your animals because it would be a waste of money to leave straw there, then that's an issur d'rabbanan, and you have to do it with the shinoi, so it won't be an issur d'rabbanan. But the Mishnah Berurah says sometimes you can even do it the normal way. What's that case? When your kavana is not to improve the ground at all, just for a different purpose you're putting something on the ground, then if not an oraisa, you don't even need a shinoi d'rabbanan. Like, what's an example? If there was spit on the ground, in their days in the dirt floor, if there was spit on the ground, it was considered disgusting, so what would they do? Put some dirt on top of the spit to cover it. There, you're not trying to improve the ground at all, just cover the spit. As a matter of fact, it doesn't improve your ground at all. It makes a little mound on your ground that's not very good for it. But it just covers the spit. In that case, if you're just putting it down not to improve the ground at all, just for an ulterior motive, then it's not even Xer Derabanan, you can even do it the normal way. So you have three madrigas of putting things down on the ground. There's putting it down permanently to improve the ground is an Ixdaraisa. Putting it down temporarily to improve the ground, but you're not Mevatel, because then you're going to use it for its real use later, is Midrabanan and Midrashinoi. And putting it down for a totally extraneous reason is not usser. Right, if you want to put a banana peels all over your ground so that people will trip and you can laugh at them, then that's not to improve the ground at all. That's an extraneous reason. That's not usser at all. You can bring them in the normal fashion. Of course, it's actually usser for other reasons. That's the second problem. Okay. So much for almost all the cases of binyan. The one case where we still have to investigate is, what about drainage? The Mishnah Berurah, I don't remember where this is. He stuck this in someplace in the beginning of Shin Yudalid. If you make a drainage hole in a real land-based structure, that's of course bona d'oraisa. What if your drain is clogged and you unclog it? Is that a bona? Is that a problem of bona? What if you unclog a stuffed-up drain? Is that a problem of bona? So this is the most tremendous halakha ma'aseh shaila ever, because this is what? I didn't really want to get into that much detail. But what about a stuffed-up toilet or sink? And you have to use a plunger to plunge it. What about a plunger? Can you plunge. Can you plunge your toilet on Shabbos? Now, your toilet's attached to the ground, right? The whole pipe system is in the ground. What you're doing is really, you're fixing a drainage hole attached to the ground. That starts to sound very much like bona to me. At first glance, what you would say is this is total bona to plunge the toilet. Because you are fixing and improving a drainage hole in a structure. At first glance, you would think that this was a real problem of bona. But, at first glance, you would think it's a real problem of bona. We saw a case similar to this in the Malacha of of Kotzer, or Zobeir, these in the middle of those malachas, where remember the guy used his foot to clear out the drainage ditch? What do we see? That B'makom Hafsid, we certainly saw a heter to do it to clear out your drainage ditch, Chilachriyad B'makom Hafsid, but that doesn't help us too much because we don't want to know if you can do Chilachriyad. We want to know, to the best of my knowledge, I can't think of a way to plunge a toilet Chilachriyad unless you're like Superman. Like if I, you know, sort of hold a plunger between my big toe and my next toe, I'm not going to be able to, you need force to plunge the toilet, right? You need to use your hand the normal way. I don't think, again, unless you're Superman, I don't think you can do it like in your elbow or whatever, Klachriyat. I don't see it. Lemaisa, so, it's not so posh that there should be a, excuse me, I'm sorry. It's not so posh that there should be a, that there should be a hetter. So is there a hetter to plunge your toilet or not? Again, if it was a hefsid, and if you're doing klachriyad, that's a different story. You know, that we have precedent for. But we're talking about stop plunging the toilet the normal way. So is there a heter or not? So, at first you would think it should be usur, but there are two grounds to be moderate.
I don't know why this is no rising, so why is it why do I have if it's a hefsid about that of the mother? That's no rising.
Talk in is if I'm really close to finish the doraisa, then maybe even that heter wouldn't apply. Okay, could be right, according to the Meiri there. Okay, sorry. In any case, there are two grounds the post can give for matar and plunging a toilet on Shabbos. One ground is the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes, that's the one on the Makor sheet number 5 from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that cleaning something is not fixing it. Fixing something means you fix the structure itself. Like, for example, if your toilet, this would never happen in our days, but if the drainage of your toilet was too narrow and you widened it a little, right, it was a narrow pipe and you widened it, it's a narrow hole in the ground, you have an outhouse, the hole in the ground is too narrow that goes down to your cesspool, so you widen it. That's binyan. But if the pipe is the pipe, you're just cleaning out dirt, that's not called binyan. Binyan is only if you fix the thing itself. Not if you remove extraneous dirt. Removing extraneous dirt is called cleaning, not fixing. Would anyone say if you wash the walls? Again, I'm not saying you should wash the walls on Shabbos. You wash the window on Shabbos. Would anyone say that's bona? Because you're improving the window? No, I mean, there might be other reasons it's not such a big improvement. But but the cleaning out dirt, right? Let's say there was a lot of dirt in your door. You couldn't close the door properly in the doorway, so you swept it. Is that bona? No, the door works. There's just dirt there. So removing dirt, cleaning, is not fixing. That's what the Shemir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman, one heter. Another heter is Rabbi Ribiot mentions from Rav Moshe, says that maybe toilets you need to plunge often. So that's like the normal way of using toilets. It's not broken. It's that sometimes it needs to be plunged. Now Rav Moshe says this in limited circumstances. Rav Moshe says in Igros Moshe that if you have a toilet which you need to plunge all the time because it doesn't work so well, then it's a vada mutter on Shabbos. Because that's the way you use the toilet. Like flushing the toilet is mutter. Well, that's how you use it. That's not it's not broken. If it's not broken, you can't fix it. So, Rabbi Ribiot suggests that maybe it's not broken, because this is something you need to do all the time, a plunger. V'haraya says many people keep plungers in their bathroom right next to the toilet. Do you keep a screwdriver in your bathroom in case the sink breaks? Do you keep a professional plumber snake in your bathroom in case you need to snake it? No. But a plunger, a plunger is like a normal part of the bathroom. That sometimes you need to plunge it. Therefore, it's not considered fixing, it's just considered using the toilet.
It's not a great proof because I'm saying, again, without going into graphic detail.
Yeah, we all know. Okay, Viter.
So why is that?
Okay, the Maisa, the Shmir Shabbos, Yesod might be stronger. And even Rav Moshe didn't really say this in the Heter, he only says the Heter if you have an inferior toilet. No, it depends. It depends what quality toilets you have in Eretz Yisrael. I'm a stum in America also. And where I live, you don't need to plunge your toilets so often.
That's what you're saying.
What?
In
Eretz Yisrael.
That's what you're saying.
Oh, you said Eretz Yisrael is better than America. Oh, I'm sorry. Fuck, Eretz Yisrael might be better than America.
Because the second level is much more powerful.
America has a law, like they're not allowed to use toilets, can't use too much water. There's much water.
What? Okay, anyway, Lemaisa, it's a good question. Lemaisa, halach Lemaisa, it's a big machlokes, achronin. If you want the list, the most achronim are Mekel, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Chalkas Yaakov, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Be'er Moshe. For the Shmir Shabbos quotes are Mekel, the Rav Avadi here, uncharacteristically, the Abiy Omer is Machmir, and Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishana Halach is also Machmir. So you have some people being Machmir, you have more posts can be Mekel, Halach Lamaik, so all the Svarim say that you should try to avoid it, you should try not to do it. But but makom real tzorech, there's what to be mekel. So the Rabbi Yet says from your Shabbos basically say the same thing. He says, if you have another toilet, then just close up that bathroom and use another toilet. Don't if you can. It's better not to be mekel. And Rabbi Yet adds, if you have a goy, ask the goy to do it. But if you really have no other choice and you're really stuck and it's an issue of coming to Brios or whatever it may be, then since most people are Mekel on this, we can be Mekel. So Allah Almighty says if you need to, you can be Mekel, but it's better to try to avoid it if at all possible, because we're not 100% sure of these svaros. Okay. I have a few minutes, which is not nearly enough time, but I think we've covered pretty well all of normal bona, quote-unquote, without meaning to be prejudiced or against any part of Shulchan Aruch as opposed to any other part of Shulchan Aruch. There are two weird cases of bona, which are also included on their bona, which deserve mention. A is, what I have here in the Makoros, the Mishavura mentions, he quotes a Furish Gemara on Shabbos, there's a mission that Tzadi Dalim and Beis, but the Gemara is, I think here it's on Daf Tzadi Hei, unless I'm confusing it with the next Mishnah. I think they're both on Daf Tzadi Hei, on Aleph. That making cheese is bona on Shabbos. Making cheese is bona. Why is making cheese bona? Because remember the formulation of the Rambam, any time you recabate some medabe kalok and you build something out of different pieces, that's bona on Shabbos. And we assume making cheese is mamish bona del raisa. Now, what do I mean by making cheese? I don't mean putting in the enzyme. Remember, that was the mechabetz, or one of the three pshatim, etc. By making cheese, after you put in the enzyme, the cheese still isn't hard. Cheese is really hard. How do they get it so hard? The enzyme doesn't do it all. Then they mamish squash it together with koach and make it really hard. That's bona. There's a whole question, which the Magen Avraham brings up then, a little later. Remember we said, if you press figs together in a cake, you press all the figs together or string them together, what might that be? What might it be? Ma'amir, right? Or it is. We pass it as ma'amir. But we don't say it's bona. So why is making cheese bona But putting all, pressing the figs together, not bona. So this is a little unclear. The stipler says, in this condition on Shabbos, it brings a lot of rice from the stomach of Tara. That's very obvious. The cheese is mamash all one piece. The figs are stuck together, but they're still separate figs. So that's why the cheese is bona. I mean, the cheese is, it's not like, you can't tell what used to be pieces, right? It's mamish mechuber. It's one item. It's attached. The figs are stuck together, but they're not really made into one thing. They're separate figs, which are stuck together. That's what the stipler says. However, we don't pass them like him, because the Magen Avraham says it a little differently. I'm sorry. The Magen Avraham says, in Siman Shin Mem, they says the difference is why you're sticking it together. The figs you're only sticking together for storage purposes. Why do you want to stick all your figs together? So you can put them in a closet and you won't have to carry them individually. But not to improve the figs. It's not like it's better to have figs in a group than separate figs, and it's nicer. It's not more beautiful to have a group of figs. It's just convenient to have them in one place. That's not bona. But in the cheese, you want a hard block of cheese. That's nicer. So that's what he says. It's a very logical chiluk. When you press the figs together, you're not trying to make something better. You're just trying to get them all to be stored in one and on one shelf in the closet, and it makes it easier to carry. But the cheese, a block of cheese, is a much nicer thing because it's all hard stuck together. It's a much better cheese than it used to be. Now, I'll tell you, I would interpret in the Magen Avraham that when he says, like, you're making it nice and even, I don't know, I'm not sure I'm going to take it this way, but the Chai Adam, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, in the footnote, one of the footnotes I gave you here quotes it, the first footnote, Per Gimel, or Mem Gimel, Chai Adam, the beginning of Klal Lamites, of Hilchos Shabbos, says, what does the Magen Avraham mean when he says the cheese is like you're making it nicer, but the figs you're not? He says the cheese, you're making a nice shape. When you put it together and food together in a nice shape, that's bona. And the figs, you're just making a stomp blob. A stomp blob is not bona. And from here, he comes up with a big chumrah. He says, anytime you stick food together into a nice shape, that's bona. Anytime you stick it together into a blob, it's not bona. Now, I'll tell you, I wouldn't have thought this. I would have thought cheese is special because your mom is making a totally new type of food called cheese. But the Chai Adam, based on the Magen Avraham, why doesn't the Magen Avraham answer cheese is a new food and figs are still figs? The answer is, no, the Magen Avraham is being mashmer. Even if you're not making it into a new chefza, just making it into a prettier shaped chefza, that's bona. So therefore, he comes with the chumra, if you want to take anything and put it together into a pretty shape, then that's a chash of bona, to take any foods and attach them in a pretty shape. Like, for example, if you take figs, and you want to make a beautiful square out of them, or a beautiful rectangle or triangle, and you stick them together, that would be bona on Shabbos. And likewise, let's say you took a what else could you stick together? What? You took a egg salad, and do you really stick it together?
No, it's already stuck together. You're just cutting it out.
Deviled eggs.
What?
Deviled eggs.
But you're not sticking together different pieces when you make them. Right? This is all sticking together different, sticking together things. There, it's not as posh. So, but let's say, I don't know, you would take tuna fish. Right? And you would take tuna fish, and let's say it's little different pieces, right? It falls out of the can into different pieces, and you stick the pieces together in a special, nice, beautiful shape. That would be a chash of bona. But again, I don't think we usually do this. Usually, what do? Maybe we, like, scoop something into a circle or something. Right. But that's, we're not attaching it. So that's not bona. Like, people can misinterpret this chayad beam. Whenever you scoop something into a nice circle, that's bona. No, not when you scoop it. Only if you would attach different pieces. If it's one blob and you scoop it, then that's not bona. Only attaching is bona. Not this attaching, right? If it's a big blob and you take out a beautiful shape, that's for sure not bona. Only if it's 30 different pieces and you put them together into a beautiful shape, according to Chai Adam, that's bona. Now, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, still, in the other footnote, Perek Yud Aleph HaOr Mem Gimel Shmir Shabbos, asks a question I don't know the answer to. He says, Maisim B'chol Yom on Yontif. Yontif has the same answer bona as Shabbos. Well, that's a Pashat Ayin Tosis on this Gemara, but we assume. Yontif has an answer of bona. Every yontif we take food and we put pieces together to make it into a good shape. We bake challah on yontif. Again, nowadays, less common. We take little pieces of flour, stick them together with water, and make them into a special shape of a challah. We make meatballs on yontif. We take chopped meat and put it together into a ball. All the time on yontif, not on Shabbos, but on yontif, we always take lots of pieces of food and shape them together into a special shape. And then why isn't that bona?
You
you have to eat it any other way.
But the figs also, the Chai Adam says, also make figs into a special shape, and you'd be happy to eat them any other way too. You're right, those are all based on the Chai Adam's Chumra, which is based on the Magen Avraham. So Rav Shlomo Zalman answers, he says, it could be that the Isser Bone is only Shayach for things that last a long time, like cheese, right? Cheese can last forever. Or figs, cakes of dried figs. Those are dried, preserved, or things that kill the bacteria in cheese, in the kill the bacteria, can last for a long time. But things like challah that get stale and meatballs that spoil, there's no Isser Bona. So that's, he says the Isser Bona only applies to food that lasts forever. You know, cheese can last forever. Even not refrigerated, like the old-fashioned way they made cheese. And likewise, figs, if dried figs, not fresh, can last forever even without refrigerator. But something you need to keep in the fridge that gets stale or spoiled is not an Isser Bona. that's what he says. Okay, I might have. I don't know. Okay, well, I said it's a good answer. I don't know. Could be there's another answer. Not sure. Okay, the one thing we didn't get to yet, which I have another 2 minutes. So let's quickly go through. One of the other weird types of bone is bone in your hair. The Gemara has a machlokas where Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether braiding your hair, you know, girls braid their hair, is an Isser D'oraisa or an Isser D'rabbanan. Where Eliezer holds an Isser D'oraisa bone because Vayiven Esatzela means Hashem braided Chava's hair. And that's bone. We hold it's only an Isser D'rabbanan of bone. Now, why do we hold it's an Isser D'rabbanan of bone? So interestingly, is there any nafkamin of this on the D'oraisa level? We pass in the Rambam, not over Shonim. We follow the Rambam, follow the Chachamim that it's only bone D'rabbanan to braid your hair. Is there any nafkamin of this on the D'oraisa level? So the answer is maybe. Rashi, Ksuvos Daf Vav says, you know the Mappas Mursa? If you lance a boil, if you make an opening in your body, that's an Isser D'oraisa. Rashi says, Taka, making an opening in your body, making a Pesach in your body is bona d'oraisa, because we see that bona applies to the human body. Yeah, braiding your hair is not permanent enough to be considered bona, but if you make a real Pesach in the human body, if you make holes for earrings, Rashi says that's bona d'oraisa. The Rambam says makibapatu is just an interesting thing. If you don't have bone on the human body, according to the Rambam, he has no applications of bona d'oraisa on the human body, but Rashi says if you do a real binyan on the human body, that's bona d'oraisa. So, like earring holes or lancing a boil. But let's get back to our issue. Braiding is only bone d'rabbanan. Anything you do to your hair, when you build your hair, is only bone d'rabbanan. The question is, what's considered bone and what's not? So let's go through all the things girls can do with their hair. Or boys, theoretically. Braiding your hair is an Isser D'rabbanan of bone. Unbraiding your hair is an Isser D'rabbanan of soser. Okay, why it's not oreg to braid here, we can't get into now. On your sheitel it would be oreg, but on your body it's bone. What about parting your hair? You know how girls, they just make a part in their hair? Right? This way and that way. So parting your hair is a machlokes rishonim. Tosos, the Rush, the Ran, and the Machaber say it's mutter to part your hair. Well, you can't read it inside, no time. Rashi and the Zoroa say it's usser. The Ramah paskins shara that it's usser to part your hair with a kli. Nowadays, we don't really have a kli for parting your hair other than a comb, which is usser anyway. But it's mutter to part your hair with your fingers. So if girls want to part their hair with their fingers, that is totally mutter. What about, so what's up? Parting your hair is mutter, except with a kli, which we don't really have that kli anymore because combs are melasser because they're gozes. Braiding or unbraiding is usser. What about curling your hair? So the Shmir Shabbos Klasik quotes from the Ksos HaShulchan, curling your hair is like braiding your hair is usser. It's building a tzura to your hair. Not only that, the Shmir Shabbos Klasik says, based on Bir Halacha, hairspray or gel that puts your hair in a certain hard shape, I don't mean hard like hard, I mean permanent shape, you know, shape that lasts a long time, is also usser mishum bona d'rabbanan. So it's not just braiding that's usser, it's braiding or curling. They're matter, the chassidim who twirl their payas all the time, because it's already curled and they're just fidgeting. They're not actually trying to curl it. So don't worry. If you go to Meisharim and see the chassidim going like this all Shabbos, that's okay, because it's just fidgeting. It's curled fine as it is. But on Erev Shabbos, when they curl it the right way, that would talk of the usher on Shabbos D'Rabbanan. Curling is usher, and either by hand or with rollers, and spraying or gelling your hair in a certain place is also usher, because that's also bone D'Rabbanan. You're making a certain structure to your hair. However, there's one kula, which I'm not sure if we should rely on or not, but the kula exists. The Shmir Shabbos Chazon doesn't mean any kulas. Rabbi Riviat quotes, you know that Kitzer Hilchos Shabbos book by the Dayan from Breuer's, Rabbi Posen, the black book? He has this very fascinating kula. He says hairspray Depends what you do. If you spray the hair and then style, if you spray and then style your hair, that's bona. But if you style your hair first and then spray it, that's mutter. Because styling your hair is mutter without spraying. And once you spray, you're just keeping it the way it is. You're not making a new shape. So therefore, he says, that's not bona, that's a heter. Rubiat brings that down, says some post me line. I'm not sure, it's a little iffy to me. But certainly there's yesham alismoch. If a girl really needs to spray her hair, Rabbi pulls it, because Rav Shabbos gives her a kula, first brush, then spray. I assume that works practically. That I haven't checked out. But for sure, the normal way to do it, or gel, or any of these things, is for sure asur rabbanim mishum bona. Okay, just give me 1 second to cover the melacha of soser. We have learned everything we need to learn about the melacha of soser, because it's just the opposite of bona. Whatever you can't do mishum bona, you can't undo mishum soser. There's only one case of soser that comes up, where the bona shaila doesn't come up, which we learned already in Simon Shin Chaf, in the Simon of Dash, which is, what about breaking ice that's on the ground? No one ever makes ice on the ground. God makes that. So remember, that was a machlokes in the Magen Avraham and the other Mefarshim. If there's ice on the ground, there's ice on your path and you need to get through. Or there's ice on the, in that case, on the bore and you need to get water. How about breaking ice on the ground? The Magen Avraham says, that's hakasosur, it's a sitter of binyan. Many achronim say, ice is not choshev, it's just frozen water. It's mofka from bona. The Mishabura says, you should try not to break ice on the ground, but Lutzar Shabbos, you're allowed to break ice on the ground. So if you need to get someplace, you need to break ice on a building. So stam an icicle. There's stam an icicle coming off the building, and you want to play and fidget and break it off for fun? You shouldn't do that on Shabbos. Of course, the Magen Avraham, it might be so, sir. But if you need to get to something, and there's ice breaking you for Tzara Shabbos, then it's mutter. That we all learned in Simen Shin Chaf, all summarized in Mishnah Berurah of Katan Lamed Vav, and now we've covered Bona and Soser, and Emir Tzoshem next week, we will go on to Makim Patush, and then the week after we'll have Chazara, and the final of the Chinna, and I'd like to wish everyone a good Yontif, I'll probably see everyone. Just one very brief part of the Parsha, because I know it's a big machlok is when dinner is on Wednesday night, but we might be into dinner or we might not be, depending if you hold the 5:45 or the 6 o'clock Shita. But a very beautiful Chassidus Shavart from Yisrael of Mud, I think of Mudgets, I might be wrong, Han Birkas Kohanim, which is in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha Lamaisa, we're all going to make it this week's Parsha by hook or by crook. Kol Savarach Les B'nei Yisrael, Amor Lehem. What's Kol Savarach Les B'nei Yisrael? Kol, thus. What's Kol, thus? It says, you might have a Havmina, a bracha, such a great bracha, Yerach Hashem Yishim Recha, etc. If the Jews deserve it, we'll give them that bracha, if they're in the Madrega. But the Jews, maybe they aren't so from, maybe they aren't so great, so I'm not going to give them that bracha. Torah says, no, Kol Savarach Les, Kol, however they are, like the way they are, Kol, however the Jews are holding now, whether you think they're holding the right place, the wrong place, whether they're doing well, whether not, so whether they're more from, whether they're less from, wherever they're holding, Kol Svarchus Ben Yisrael, they still deserve a brach. Shabbat Shalom. Thanks, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, friends.